And the devil said to him, "All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Begone, Satan. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen." Venerable religious, dear parishioners, every first Sunday of Lent, we reflect upon Jesus' Lent that he observed, 40 days and 40 nights of no food whatsoever. And on top of all that hunger and sacrifice, he is allowed in his human nature to be tempted by the devil. Now, our Lord obviously could not sin. He was never even in danger of sinning because of his infinite holiness. But still, at least the first step of temptation was allowed to him, which is the suggestion of something forbidden to him. And he shows us how to overcome temptation. But one of the most powerful tools we have against temptation is fasting. And this is why it is imposed by the church for our own good during this Holy Lenten season. We see that the devil is tempting our Lord to outright idolatry. "Bow down and worship me, and I'll give you all these material things that the world offers." And that is, of course, a most grave sin against the first commandment. The very first commandment of God says, "Thou shalt not have strange gods before me." And here the devil is trying to make himself into God and saying, "Worship me." But it occurred to me that really all three temptations had something to do with idolatry. It's not just the third temptation that we read about. It's all three. When the devil was tempting our Lord to indulge his sensuality after 40 days, you know, change these stones into bread, you can do it. Wouldn't that be the idolatry of pleasure? Putting some kind of pleasure ahead of serving God? It wasn't just about the pleasure of eating, the pleasure of drinking, the pleasure of other things. Unfortunately, people can make pleasure into a god. So we see how powerful fasting is. It helps us to not fall into the idolatry of pleasure. Unfortunately, many people seem to live for pleasure. And yet, pleasure can never satisfy the heart, and it will ruin us. So again, the fasting from pleasure is what happens here. That's how to combat that temptation. What about the temptation, "Throw yourself off of this pinnacle and the angels will catch you"? I'm always so powerfully reminded how clever the devil is. I mean, what's better than quoting the Bible? What's better than quoting a verse from the book of Psalms? And yet the devil himself will do that to keep somebody from doing what he or she ought to do. Never forget, you'll never outsmart the devil. He is a lot more clever and smart than all of us. So we have to be on our guard. Seek divine guidance, seek counsel, so that we are not led astray by the devil quoting something good. I also see in this temptation the idolatry of entertainment. Wouldn't have that been quite the magic show to see somebody falling off, you know, hundreds of feet, and then person scooped up right before they hit the ground. Ooh and ah. Here's another great weakness, and yes, even an idolatry that people can fall into, the idolatry of entertainment. And unfortunately, they're even called that. You know, athletes, they're called idols. Celebrities looked up to as idols. They'll even use that word. And that word, idolatry, is a most serious sin against the first commandment. Now, I know that people aren't actually getting on their knees and worshiping these celebrities, worshiping these athletes. But by the fact that they give them a lot more time and attention that they give to God, is that not a species of idolatry? And then the third thing was the idolatry of material things. And there the devil is most specifically calling for idolatry. I'll give you money. I'll give you all kinds of material things. Just bow down and worship me. So you see, fasting isn't just from food. Fasting is also giving up other lawful things that we may have. Why? Because we need to discipline ourselves. We need to keep ourselves from falling into the idolatry of pleasure, the idolatry of entertainment, and the idolatry of material things. That's the great weakness of human nature, to put the creature ahead of the Creator. And yet we are commanded to love God with our whole heart, mind, soul, and strength, to put Him above all creatures. So this is the inspiration for all of the giving up of things and denying ourselves and, yes, causing, you know, doing painful and uncomfortable things. All of those are a form of fasting, and they all combat in one way or another some kind of idolatry. Remember that pleasure is not evil in itself. Entertainment is not evil in itself. Material things are not evil in themselves if we use them properly, if we use them in a godly way. That's the challenge. But again, because of our fallen human nature, we have to practice the giving up of many a lawful thing to help strengthen us against the unlawful, and so that we can seek God better. And this is why fasting frees us up. And I don't mean by freeze making us really cold, but by making us more free. It's liberating. It helps us to transcend, to rise higher spiritually. So many graces we receive during Lent, such a holy season. But there are other things that fasting does, and just looking at some biblical examples here, where fasting also brings down graces upon us. And here are some examples. Fasting isn't just for atoning for past sin, but it also does things in the present and in the future. The city of Nineveh, of course, they did it looking to the past. They were a very sinful city, so they fasted, they repented, and God spared their city. Moses fasted when he received God's commandments. He was up on Mount Sinai, fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. And he was becoming more worthy of receiving the Ten Commandments and other unique revelations, and even God manifesting himself to him. But he had to fast in order to receive all that. David fasted asking God's forgiveness, but also for God's guidance. So he was looking to the past, atoning for sin, But fasting, if he knew, would bring down greater spiritual guidance from God upon him. Ezra fasted to ask God's forgiveness. Nehemiah fasted to seek God's favor. Daniel fasted, seeking God's favor. Anna fasted, seeking God's favor and guidance. And in the New Testament, Cornelius fasted, asking for God's favor. And so did St. Paul. We'll read about that, about both of these in the Acts of the Apostles. And of course, we don't do this for any kind of showing to other people. We need to hide our fasting because of that danger of looking for people's approval or praise if they were seen doing these extra things. Now, obviously, some things will be seen because you can't hide them. But Jesus reminds us, and we heard that gospel on Ash Wednesday, to try to hide things, do our good and our penance in secret so that the Father can see us that we're doing it for him alone. We're doing it for the right reasons. So we've begun Lent. We are today in the first Sunday. And let us remember the great blessings that come upon our life through this holy fasting that we are doing. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.